Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Todd Folk and Nick Ludwig joining us today. Todd and Nick are the founders of AppApp, an app that rewards users with free appetizers at participating restaurants without cutting into the restaurant's bottom line. With over 15 combined years in the hospitality and food tech industries, Todd and Nick are passionate about satisfying customers while providing cost-effective marketing. Todd and Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. I'd love if you two could start off by talking about what you do with AppApp and what actually led you there.
Nick, you want to start off?
Yeah, I'll take it away. So as you mentioned, Todd and I are co-founders of AppApp. My main focus is building up our restaurant base. And what that entails is basically I am constantly on the street, on the phone, or on my laptop, reaching out to all different restaurants in New York City and getting them to commit to being featured on our platform. So basically everything sales related runs through me. That is basically my daily life. Everything outside of sales, Todd can speak a little bit more to, but that's my main focus. I'll dabble in the marketing end of things sometimes as well, but sales is my area.
So on my end, I always run the joke, Nick takes care of all the sales in the restaurants and I take care of everything else. For me, that's especially more recently, that's marketing, PR. Thank God I have help from two great teams to do that. And then fundraising has been a huge one. We recently just closed a equity crowdfunding pre-seed round of about $400,000. So that was months and months and months in the works to just chat with tons of people, raise the money, pull that together. Also, I take care of the hiring and all other contractor work.
That's fantastic. And how did you two come to this idea of wanting to create something like AppApp?
I'll jump in on that one. So Todd and I actually met each other at a company that focused on catering in the food tech space. And we worked in the sales department there for a couple of years. And as we were basically sitting at the top of the sales team, I had the idea of what the concept for app is. And it really stemmed from what we saw in that a lot of the restaurants we worked with at this catering company were getting ripped off in the way that, you know, they would be charged exorbitant amounts in fees. You know, they really just the small margins that they were already working off of were even smaller by working with a company that you know, we were working for. So knowing that restaurants weren't really making as much as they could, we wanted to come up with an idea that would allow us to send more customers to the restaurants but not eat into their bottom line. And that's where the idea for AppApp really came from. If you want me to expand on that, I'll jump into that for a second. But basically, we looked around at different apps that helped bring more people in, and all of them focused primarily on discounts or reservations. And we wanted to come up with something that really added to the experience of the customer overall. And that's when we came up with the idea of coming up with a complimentary appetizer. And that's the main selling point, I would say, on the user end. But on the restaurant end, because we don't charge anything, it's just a way for them to really make the customers feel more appreciated and not really eat into their margins as much as they would by working with other companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And one question that I had too is that I noticed that you have two different tiers when it comes for people to be able to utilize the app. And that's something that a lot of companies kind of take advantage of when they're offering some type of service, is having different tiers for people to choose from. So what made you kind of want to choose that route and make those decisions and offers for people?
Nick, do you want me to jump in on this?
Go for it.
So we actually jumped around between, oh my God, an absolute myriad of methods. When we first launched, it was subscription only. Then we tried, you know, just making, you know, it free, but then we ran into the issue of like, wait, how do we make money? You know, if we have to charge restaurants for everything, then we're just like everybody else. Then we tried a freemium method, which is ultimately what we landed on. And we're finding we're starting to find out that it works really well. The whole premise of the freemium method is you don't pay anything for the first couple appetizers. We chose three because we thought that's a good fitting. Most people don't go out to eat a ton, but for the people who do, you can upgrade to the premium, which gets you a complimentary appetizer once per day, every day. So for like a lot of people in like New York City who go to bars like two or three times a week, go out to eat maybe on a date or something like that once a week, it actually helps them a ton without really even eating into their pocketbook. The truth is it actually saves them money. So they pay a $10 fee once and they get, you know, an appetizer every single day of the month, which in New York, an appetizer is going to run you about, you know, 10 to 12 bucks, we'll say. So it just opened a way for us to get users on to try it out without having to worry about, you know, the risk of does this work? Does this work enough for me? And they can even still use it if it's like once or twice per month and it's still helpful for them and it's still helpful for the restaurants itself. But once we get to the point where people become power users, they could quickly see the value in it just by the first extra complimentary appetizer redeemed, which pays for the whole month itself.
That's really interesting. And so one question that I have is that how are you able to sell restaurants on this idea of kind of giving that complimentary appetizer to the customers and being able to kind of retain them moving forward and get that cost-effective marketing?
I'm gonna jump this one right away. Sorry about that, Nick. So it really boils down to margins. And I want to preface this with, while Nick came up with the original idea, it really struck a chord with me because I've been in the restaurant industry a lot, own bars and everything like that. So for me, understanding margins was a big on this one. The cost of an appetizer to a restaurant is actually one of the highest margin things outside of alcohol on their menu. Perfect example is if you get an entree at a restaurant, let's say you spend $100 because we're going to make this easy math, right? An entree will probably cost them $30 to $35 in food, not labor, not anything else, just the food cost on that. If it's an appetizer, it'll probably cost them about $15 to $20 tops of that $100 bill. So if you break it down to a $10 appetizer, their food costs about $1.50, which when you're looking at in terms of marketing costs, that's actually an incredibly good marketing cost for a restaurant that they have to eat. The average marketing cost for a restaurant usually sits around 20 to 25% of what they're doing just to bring in customers. So even in a scenario where a person goes over and over and over and over again, like say a person loves using app and loves using it at this one restaurant, the restaurant actually comes out ahead at every single stage, even if they used it for the 50th time in like 3 months. It actually still benefits the restaurant.
Gotcha. And so with the sales, I know that Nick, you mentioned that that's really what you focus on a lot. Like, how do you actually close these deals? Because that's something that so many budding entrepreneurs really struggle with is just the sales process and acquiring new customers and clients. So what would you say are your tips for that?
Yeah, so a big thing that I like to play on is, you know, restaurants are already running discounts to begin with. And as somebody who goes out to eat, I personally get more excited if I hear that I can get something on the house as opposed to 15% off. So as a customer, that's going to get my attention faster. But as a restaurant, it's really the same type of discount that they're offering, just framed in a more enticing way to the customer. So I really try to explain that to the restaurant. And then as Todd was saying, you know, a lot of their marketing costs, you know, if you just look on Instagram and see all the sponsored ads that are running, they put so much money into that and they don't even know in great detail how many people are actually showing up to their restaurant from those ads. With our platform, they know exactly who's showing up because the users that go there have to show the app when they sit down. So the restaurant's really not spending anything to get that person in the door until they're seated at their table. And that's something that we think restaurants should really be all over, quite frankly. But it does take some more explaining to certain restaurants than it does to others. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And correct me if I'm wrong with this, but it almost seems like it's easier to close the deals with restaurants because you can directly reach out to them, set up meetings, kind of connect with them that way, but more so getting users. So the people who are going into the restaurants and using the app might be a little bit more difficult. What is that process like for acquiring the users?
So it's fun. Let's just start it right there. Right now, like, user acquisition is, we're at the stage where we have a very strong restaurant base. So user acquisition is now becoming our biggest focus. Part of the raise that we recently did was geared towards bringing on more users. A lot of the stuff we've been doing is you run events or run specialized events at restaurants. That's actually been a really fun blast. So one of the things we've been doing is we talk to the restaurant, we go in, we talk to people at tables and give them a free appetizer, just let them know about the app. And we're finding that a lot of people download it right on the spot then because they think it's really cool that they're getting a perk. We're doing really nothing. It's just being there. And a lot of it's going to be early on word of mouth. Like with anything like this, it's the design is you like it, you tell somebody. More importantly, and we have this baked into the app itself, there's no limit per table. So let's say you go out with like three of your friends, right? And all of you have app. You each can get your own complimentary appetizer. So like if you go out, yeah. So if you go, like the big one is like, say you go out with you know, and you have it and your three friends don't, most likely you're going to sit back and say, yo, download this app and we'll all get a free appetizer. And then we can grab a couple of drinks and whatever we want after that. So the restaurant's happy because you're buying all this extra stuff and they make money off of all the other stuff as well. And all of your friends are happy because they feel like they just got a cool reward and they did nothing but download an app. Right. At your recommendation, you know, so a lot of the stuff is going to be word of mouth early. But we're also tapering that with running events. We're going to be doing some more paid social, just to get word out and get, more people to notice us.
Awesome. And with the sales process in general, so Nick, this might be a more question geared towards you, but do you find that you have to, like, what's the actual closing process like? Like, do you have to follow up with people a certain amount of times? Because I've noticed just from speaking with so many other entrepreneurs that they really struggle with that, is that they hate feeling like they're pushy and nudging people and saying, hey, checking in again. But truthfully, as you know, it's so important to do that. So what would you describe the process for that?
That is an excellent question. And I wish there was a simple answer to that, but it's very complicated. It can, so the best kind of sales that I get are the ones that I'll walk into a restaurant, I'll chat with the manager or the owner right on the spot, and they sign up before I even walk out of there. That's amazing. And that does happen every now and then. I'd say once every week or two. But then you have other restaurants that there's a handful of them that I've worked on closing for literally over a year. So it's really just about being persistent. You know, if I get a hard no from a restaurant, then I'm probably not going to waste my time with them, at least for another few months. But if someone expresses interest to me, but doesn't fully commit, I'm going to try to get a yes out of them until they just tell me, like, to get lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. There are places that are excited to hop on board immediately, and then there are other spots that you have to put the work in for, like I said, over a year. It's all over.
Now, yeah. I'd love to tag on to that just because I know a lot of budding entrepreneurs are looking at this. The big aspect to look in there is when he says a year, like, restaurants are closing after a year. So, like, it's not a I'm being too pushy or, like, when do I drop off? Until you get a solid yes or a solid no, never let up. Trust me, never let up, because eventually you'll start closing stuff that you never expected to close.
I think that's great advice. And especially too, I think that sometimes people forget that following up doesn't always mean, like, the sales aspect. Like, if you publish a blog post that you think this restaurant or someone else would find helpful, you can check in with them through that and share that blog post with them there. And it's just a great way to kind of bring you to the top of their mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be the sales aspect of it all the time, but I think it's awesome that you two are both talking about how you've been really persistent, and even a year later, you're getting people to close the deal, which is something that's really important to keep doing throughout your sales cycle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a good point to make, because it's not always following up on trying to make a sale. It's just making touch points and keeping the line of communication open. Sometimes I will try to make a sale and a follow-up, but other times I'll just share an article that I think is helpful to the restaurant to demonstrate that, hey, we might not officially be partnered together, but I still want to bring value to you. And that, I think, really helps towards building the kind of relationships that we want to have with our partner restaurants. And eventually, if they do have a need for a service like ours, they'll know, oh, Nick has been in touch with us, you know, a dozen times over the last few months. Maybe we should give him a shout this time.
Love it. And what would you say was the most difficult part of starting App?
Just beginning, really. Like, there was no like obstacle other than just fully being able to commit to it. And Todd will tell you, in the beginning of this, when I had the idea, I ran it by so many people and kept just like talking and talking about the idea, but never actually taking the steps towards executing on that idea. It took me a few months, and eventually one of my friends was like, Nick, you either need to do something about this or shut up. And that was really the kick in the butt that I needed to at least get the ball rolling. And then once I was able to get a few things together, that's when Todd joined forces with me and really took it to the next level.
Awesome. And have you found difficulty being co-founders? Because you two are actually my first co-founders as guests. So how has managing that relationship been like for you two?
Todd, you want to take that?
honestly, and I say this in the most heartfelt way I possibly can, I probably couldn't have asked for a better co-founder and partner in this. The benefit is Nick and I had a very good relationship and I catered to me, and it wasn't one of just like, oh, we're best friends. You know, well, we had a competitive relationship. Like, we were always fighting each other constantly for the number one sales spot in the nation. And like that type of drive, really, you know, it cemented a good, solid, healthy relationship in the part where we can challenge each other and not get upset. You know, if I'm slacking on something, I know if Nick comes to me and was like, yo, pick it up, man, you're slacking. Like, I know it's not an attack. You know, I know it's him trying to better me, because that's what we did when we first met each other. The whole focus was how can we better each other? And that's just carried on into our co-founder relationship. And as Nick will tell you, man, I'm relentless in terms of like, oh, did you follow up? And like Nick will tell me, like, I followed up on this. I'm like, well, what about this? Like, and the whole thing is, I know he doesn't take it personally. It's not me trying to go after him.
Right.
It's me trying to make him better than what he was yesterday.
That is exactly what I would have said. And yeah, like to put it into more concise terms, I would say just having thick skin is really important. Like, I'm not going to let anything that Todd says get to me personally, because I know that he's just trying to get the best out of me. And vice versa. Todd will tell you, we joke around all the time. We kind of nudge each other all the time. And we're really doing it to just light a fire under each other to make sure that we perform at the highest level.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice, especially because I personally know some people who have wanted to start businesses with friends, and they've been hesitant because they're worried about damaging the friendship because of a business relationship. So it's great to hear what you two have been working on and have found a process and system that works well for both of you to kind of keep moving forward, but also making sure that everyone's doing everything as they should be.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
On the opposite end of difficulty, what would you say has been the most rewarding part of starting your business?
Nick, you want to go start off that one?
Yeah. I think honestly, the biggest reward is knowing that I had this idea and I went for it, because the biggest fear I had was having something an idea that I believed in and not doing anything with it. I don't want to be in my old age and wonder, you know, oh, 30 years ago, I had this idea that I thought could have been kind of a big deal and then just didn't do anything with it. So the fact that we're going for it, you know, that's almost enough for me. And the experience that I've gained out of doing this is unlike anything else that I've learned in schooling or any other job that I've had. So yeah, that's what I would say is the most rewarding.
On my end is probably, actually it's not even probably, it is absolutely seeing and overcoming challenges that like at first glance are incredibly daunting. A perfect one I like to use, and a lot of entrepreneurs will run into this in time, fundraising. I've never fundraised at a scale for like a what could be a high growth company, you know, where you're tackling a ton of, you know, unique angels, you're talking to family firms, VCs. And I'll tell you, man, during that whole process, the sheer quantity of no's you get, it hits, and it hits hard. I remember, so ultimately we ended up doing an equity crowdfund, but even when we first applied to every single platform, everyone said no. Like every single place said no. And eventually we just went step by step by step, kept bugging, kept doing whatever we could. And one of them said yes. And they're like, well, let's hopefully we can get you 20,000. And we got 400. It was an amazing success story to like, just say like, this is a challenge. I don't know if we're ready, but you know, what else are we going to do? We have to do this. So we're going to find a way to do it. And then overcome me has got to be the greatest feeling ever.
Definitely. Especially as you mentioned, Todd, when you get all of those no's, when you finally get that yes, it's just such a even more gratifying feeling because you're able to prove that you actually were able to do something that people never thought you'd be capable of doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going along with that, since you just mentioned the 400,000 that you secured, what do you think led you to your success?
Being straight up and being honest, I have a philosophy just with myself and just in life in general. It's really happened because of everything that's occurred throughout my entire life. And it's 100% be yourself, no matter what the consequences. Nick will attest to this. When I've raised money and stuff like that and chatted with people, I'll walk in how I'm normally dressed and a backwards cap. And I just talk and tell it how it is. I'm very straightforward, very honest. If I don't think something will work, I'll be very honest about it. If I think someone has a great idea, I'll tell them I'm going to look into it and we might incorporate it. Like everything I've done has been pure and straightforward. And I've run into many, 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 many people who don't want to invest because I don't wear a suit or I don't look as professional or I don't do X or I don't do Y in their little way. But the truth is, and I've always found that those probably aren't the people I want. Because right. If I'm wearing, a perfect example is like, I'm not a suit person. You'll never catch me in a suit. But if I have to go to a meeting and I'm wearing a suit and someone is investing in me based on how I'm looking and acting at that moment, it's not me. So the moment they see me as me, everything's going to go awry. I'd rather you know exactly what I'm like from the get-go, end of story. And then if you want to invest in that because you believe in what we're doing and how we're doing it, then you're the right person to be with us.
Absolutely. Especially because over the past few years, authenticity has become a huge thing that people look for within companies. And so being able to show up and be authentic of who you are as a leader and a business owner is so important for the investors, your customers, any other colleagues and things like that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And it stems through everything. Even when we're doing our initial round of hiring, I am who I am, and that was always what it will be. And if you find you will click, you will perform amazing. And if it doesn't click, that's perfectly fine because you'll find someone else or we'll find someone else, and that'll work out better for both of us.
Definitely. Nick, do you think there's anything else that led to App success besides what Todd had mentioned?
It's hard to say, but one of the things that I tested out early on when this was just a concept, and we didn't even have anything built out yet, was that I just jumped around to all different restaurants in my neighborhood of Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan and just went to restaurants and say, hey, I'm thinking about building this thing. I haven't done anything with it yet, but is this something that you would potentially be interested in? And I got enough restaurants to say, yeah, we would be into that idea. That's really what gave me the confidence to push forward as hard as we did. I knew there was a need on the restaurant end, and then on the user end, to me, I thought, if I can offer something for free to people in New York City, I don't know who would turn that down. I don't know if that necessarily speaks to the successes we've had, but it at least gave us the confidence in the beginning to move forward with something that we felt could work out.
I think that's a great point, especially because as you were doing this market research, I'm sure you were keeping a list of people who said, yes, absolutely. And then once it came time for the app to launch, you're then reaching out to those people and saying, hey, we move forward with this. Now you should sign up.
Exactly.
So it really kind of helped you to get those warm leads, so to say, and nurture the people that you would be directly supporting.
Absolutely. And some of those early places that we teamed up with are still with us today. So if you have an idea and you want to build a company out, test out the market first. Ask people what they think of what you're trying to do. And not just your friends and family, but the people you're actually going to be working with. That was enough to get us to at least push forward. And hopefully that is for other people who are thinking about starting their own company too.
Love it. And at any point in time, do you have plans to expand beyond NYC?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually in Miami earlier this year chatting with a whole bunch of restaurants because that's a city that we're looking at. Philly and DC are on our radar as well.
You got to add Boston too.
But so you're ready for this? You're not going to like this. Boston, you're a little lower on our radar because the stats for how many times you go out to eat in a month of all major cities is the worst. You guys don't like to go out to eat.
I can see that. So if there was one thing that you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
That's a tough one. I could take that to start. I would just say start doing this earlier. You know, like I said before, I sat on this idea for at least a few months, probably 6 months. In that time, I should have been going to even more restaurants and asking more people what they thought of this, to really just get as much of a head start as possible. You know, what came after that, I don't look back on any of it in regret at all. I just wish I started earlier.
Let me see. I think the two biggest ones for me, and it's one or the other, find a really good tech co-founder, which we didn't do, or start with a lot more money for dev work. That's, I think, one of the biggest ones. Making adjustments, changing, doing things. Like if you have someone on your team who could build it, that's excellent. If you don't, it's expensive. So either have a good war chest or have a good developer.
I love that. And I love that you kind of mentioned going along with that, it's the whole idea of investing in your business, because that is something that people really tend to shy away from, especially when they're just starting out, because the idea of spending any money with the potential of no money coming back in return is quite scary. And so, but it's important to be able to invest in your business. And so it's really helpful to kind of have the mindset of, in order to make more money, you have to spend money. And so I think it's great advice that you gave there about just being able to invest in the places where you really should be.
Yeah.
And yeah, just, absolutely.
To add on that, I think anyone who's thinking of starting a company and is afraid of, you know, putting that financial commitment into it, you're going to be happier 20, 30 years down the road without those couple thousand dollars and knowing that you went full throttle on your idea than you would be if you just held on to that money and didn't do anything with it. So, you know, if it's a risk that you're able to take, I say go for it.
Definitely. And why do you think it's so important to start a business at a young age specifically?
Oh, honestly, it's risk to reward is always the biggest thing you look at. And every entrepreneur will always say that thing. It's risk to reward. The younger you are, the lower the risks you have. If you're in college, you're on a meal plan, you're in dorms, great. You don't have to worry about your housing. You don't have to worry about your food. You have a lot less to risk. If you don't have money coming in, fantastic. You can get a side job to hustle slinging pizzas or something like that. Your risk is much lower. The younger you are, it's just how it is. The older you get, you have a mortgage, you might have a wife, you might have kids, you have to find a way to figure out retirement. Like, the younger you are, you just have less to worry about. So that's when money will go a lot further for you. The older you get, the bigger war chest you're just going to have in general, because you need to survive. One of the biggest things I did personally is a lot of people focus on raising money. The other half of that is you have to look at how to cut your natural expenses. I'm able to live on a very dirt cheap wage. Why? Because I found ways to cut my rent to next to zero, and just, whittle away like what I need to spend on. And that allows you, just because you have less risk now. So that's really the whole gist of it.
Yeah. And I think it's a great point too, especially because, I mean, if things don't work out when you're younger, then you're able to kind of move on and take the corporate route as if nothing ever really happened. So it's like you have all this potential at the palm of your hands while you're young, but then if things kind of fall through or don't work out as you plan to, you always will have a backup plan.
And you exactly. have the experience.
Yes. So
don't forget that one. And you have this treasure trove of experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, sorry to cut you off. I think, when you go for it in trying to build a company like whatever it is that you have in mind, there's always going to be a crappy job that you can fall back to if you absolutely need it. So if you're in a position where you can take the leap and go for it, just do it.
Yeah. And one question that I have too is that while you two were building up App, and maybe you still even do, but did you still have like a full-time job to be able to kind of supplement this work with what you were doing?
So I know on Nick's end, he still worked for a company when we were first starting up. And once we got to a point where, more full-time work was needed on it, then he jumped over and we just did what we could side gig wise. I consulted during the whole time. At this point, because we raised, we pay ourselves a full salary, so we don't have to. But yeah, definitely early on, we were doing other things to pay bills for sure.
Yeah, a lot of it came down to just saving as much money as I could from the previous job that I had. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of that job, it was really kind of fleshing out how exactly this was going to work. And then once we had everything organized and I knew at least there was some sort of direction I wanted to go in, that's when I was able to quit that job and devote full time to building this out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing that I wanted to highlight too, because I know that especially with young entrepreneurs, when they're just starting out, they most likely do have a full-time job or maybe even a part-time one as they're starting to build up their business. And there's absolutely no shame in having that too, because you need to be able to find ways to support that dream and be able to have a backup in case it falls through. And so I admire the people who are able to balance both, because it's certainly not easy.
No, not at all.
I think you two have shared so much helpful advice and really great tips throughout this episode, but I'd love to ask you that if there was one last piece of advice you'd like to share with our listeners for those who may just be starting out, what would it be and why?
Nick, you want to start off?
I got to think about that, because the biggest thing for me is something that I've kind of been saying this whole time, is if you're in a position where you can take the leap towards building something that you believe in, you just have to do it. You can't live your life knowing that you had this great idea and then just let it die out. If you're able to financially support yourself while figuring out if your idea is a worthwhile one, then you just have to go for it. You won't regret that later in life.
And also kind of going along with that, chances are that if you have an idea, someone else does too. So you definitely want to be the first one to do it.
That's a good point too. But that other person who has that idea needs to want it as badly as you do.
Right.
And there's not a lot of people that actually follow through on the ideas they talk about. So I guess what my suggestion would be is, if you have a good idea, just follow through on it. Don't just talk about it.
On my end, it's ABC, always be closing. No matter what you do, where you're at, sales is always going to be the number one thing that drives your business, no matter what your business is, because without sales, nothing happens. ABC is literally everyone you talk to, your whole focus should be, like on our end, if I chat with a person, hey, this is what we do. Oh, that's fantastic. Would you like to download it and try it? Always be closing. You talk to a restaurant, I'm eating out, speak with the waiter, ask for the manager. They come in, tell them who you are. I'm there to enjoy a meal, but I'm here to close too. No matter what you do, always be closing. And it doesn't matter if you're the tech person, if you're sales, if you're CEO, any single position early on, your job is to close, nothing else. Everything else is secondary. Because if you get enough people closing for sales, everything else will be a million times easier to do.
I love it. Perfect advice. Well, Nick and Todd, it's been so awesome having you two on this episode. And now I'd love if you could share where our listeners can get in touch with you in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Oh, fantastic. So name's Todd Folk, F-O-L-K. You can reach me at Todd, T-O-D-D, at getappapp.com.
And my name again is Nick Ludwig, and you can reach me at Nick, N-I-C-K, at getappapp.com.
Perfect. And I'll put those emails in the show notes, so that way if people missed it, they can click through and email you from there. But thank you both so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having us. We had a great time.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.